From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. It may feel more like Groundhog Day, but tomorrow is Election Day for runoff races in Georgia. Voters will choose a Secretary of State and who will fill the remaining open seat for the Public Service Commission for District 3. Bill Nigut is host of Political Rewind, and he's here with me as the very end of a long election season comes to a close. Hello, Bill.
How are you, Virginia?
Great. I'm glad to have you with us. And I want to start with this runoff for Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. Questions over the integrity of elections, oversight got a lot of attention, accusations of voter suppression, with now Governor-elect Brian Kemp having held that office. What can you tell us about Brad Raffensperger, the Republican candidate who wants to replace him?
Brad Raffensperger has been a member of the House. He's obviously the more conservative of the two candidates, the other one being John Barrow, who was a Democratic member of the U.S. House for a number of terms. Raffensperger has so far essentially said that he believes that the election apparatus, everything from registration to the machines that are used in terms of how many are put into place, all the other apparatus, absentee ballots, provisional ballots, should be in the hands of the counties, who in fact do control our elections, 159 counties in Georgia. And the one thing Raffensperger does say is that he believes that the Secretary of State has an obligation to try to have more uniform rules and regulations so that the counties are doing things the same way. And one of the reasons that's kind of interesting is, as you just said, there's been so much controversy and continues to be controversy over how Georgia ran its election. And most of it focused, of course, on Brian Kemp's office, because he was Secretary of State and he didn't step down during the campaign. But the reality is that elections are run by the counties with oversight from the Secretary of State's office. And that's how Raffensperger wants to continue things, with some additional state oversight.
Well, a federal judge ultimately decided there would not be enough time for the state to implement paper ballots in advance of the election. But the state's touchscreen voting machines are out of date. No paper backup, and a number of IT professionals weighed in that the system is not secure. Has Raffensperger talked about that specifically?
Yeah. Well, remember, there is a commission that was impaneled last year by Secretary of State Brian Kemp to look at alternatives that to the voting machines we now use. Voting machines, most specifically, the concern has been that don't produce a paper trail of any sort. As you know, as a new Georgia voter,
right,
you go in and you touch the screen, and at the end of the voting, you get to go back and review who you voted for on the screen, but you can't be certain that your vote is counted correctly. So there is a belief pretty broad, widely spread by both Republicans and Democrats, that at the very least we need machines that produce some sort of paper trail. There is a group looking at that right now. They're looking at various machines that accomplish the purpose of electronic voting, perhaps, as well as the paper trail. And they'll make recommendations to the Secretary of State and ultimately to the legislature, we imagine, in this upcoming session to acquire new voting machinery. But there's a difference between the two candidates in this. Raffensperger wants electronic voting with a paper trail.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrat, John Barrow, says we really ought to have paper ballots. We ought to go back to a system in which we punched, perhaps, the name of the candidate that we were voting for, and he believes that those ballots should then be read by an optical scanner to produce the result. Barrow's concern is he believes that electronic voting is subject to hacking.
Right. And how else is the Democrat, John Barrow, distinguishing himself in his candidacy?
He believes the Secretary of State's office should exercise far more control of the elections in all 159 counties, should insist on uniform procedures for handling absentee ballots, provisional ballots, how those ballots are counted. He is much more likely, if he becomes Secretary of State, to put this the office in a far more rigid control of how elections are run by those 159 separate counties.
Well, obviously, the election between them was close. How close are they looking in the runoffs? What's the word in the polling?
It's really hard to tell. As of the end of last week, we've been looking at early voting. That voting period was short. It started last Monday and ran through Friday. And as we looked at the demographics, which is all we get to see in early voting, voters who have turned out are all older, they are whiter, and the speculation is, based on a lot of experience over the years from many observers, that it is likely that those are people who are more inclined to vote Republican than Democratic. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see tomorrow what the turnout is among voters who tend demographically to vote more for Democrats. But a lot of the experts in this field seem to think the data suggests that Georgia is so far leaning towards Republicans in the Secretary of State's race as well as the PSC race.
Right. The mail-in ballots received far behind those in the general election.
Well, and in fact, they've been extended. Now the deadline has been extended because absentee ballots weren't set out in enough time for people to vote and get them back. Do you want to know about I'm looking up as of the end of Friday what the demographics
are.
So right now, as of the end of the vote on Friday, the early voting, 69% of the voters were white, 23% were African American, and in terms of age, it's really interesting. Between 50 and 65 and over, those voters represent 86% of the people who have turned out. Very, very few. 2.5%, 18 to 29, 4%, 30 to 39. I mean, the fact of the matter is these are numbers that Republicans are happy to see.
Well, in her not-quite-concession speech, Stacey Abrams, Democratic candidate for governor, told supporters to go out and vote for John Barrow in the runoff. Doesn't sound like she succeeded in getting the turnout.
Well, we don't know yet. I mean, remember, Election Day is tomorrow, and there is voting apparatus out there. I do think there are people, as you say, who have kind of looked at where Abrams and her machinery have focused in the aftermath of her loss. They have obviously spent an enormous amount of time on preparing the federal lawsuit, which has now been filed, in which they are challenging much of the way in which Georgia runs its elections. And there are people who worry that perhaps she hasn't focused as much as they'd like her to on helping turn out the vote for the Democrats on the runoff ballot. Although I was talking to people this weekend who say they've kind of had touches from the Abrams folks. They've gotten things in the mail saying, get out and cast your vote for John Barrow. So while the early vote seems to be favoring Republicans, let's see what happens when the polls actually open on Election Day tomorrow.
Well, one last question on that race. When the Atlanta Press Club hosted a runoff debate here at GPB last week, Raffensperger did not show, leaving Barrow alone to answer panelists' questions. So first, what happened?
It depends on who you talk to.
Okay, how about the Raffensperger campaign?
The Raffensperger campaign contends that the invitation from the Atlanta Press Club, which is really the organization that produces the debates, we
just host them here.
On our air, but it's the Press Club. The Raffensperger campaign contends that the invitation from the Press Club to debate on that date went to an intern on their campaign, and that the information was never forwarded to senior staff. Therefore, Raffensperger was out doing other things, didn't want to change his schedule. That's what they say. Now, there's also reason to think that the Raffensperger people were fairly confident that they could pull off this victory and didn't see any advantage to being involved in a debate. We don't know what to make of all this, but it does seem odd that somehow an invitation to a debate would not get to the people who make those decisions.
And in turn gets blamed again. Runoff elections for Secretary of State and Public Service Commission are tomorrow. I'm speaking with GPB's Bill Nigut about the races. And let's get to that Public Service Commission race. Not generally a barn burner of a contest, but a lot of attention about it this time. Remind us of what the Public Service Commission really does.
Well, I mean, the Public Service Commission, first of all, I think it is a barn burner of a contest, Virginia. I mean,
not generally, I said.
No, no, I think, okay, good, yeah. See, that's exactly right. Typically, we never pay attention to races that are that far down the ballot, or we rarely do, is a better way to say it. This time, it's a significant contest because the Public Service Commission is the body that is tasked with regulating and overseeing public utilities in the state. Here's a piece of trivia for you. Georgia was one of the first states to impanel a version of the Public Service Commission. They brought together a group in the late 1800s, I think 1870-something, to oversee and regulate the railroads.
Huh.
And that has morphed over all these decades into the Public Service Commission, which does, in fact, look at utility rates, at requests for rate hikes, at requests for capital projects surrounding the various utilities. And that's why this time the PSC race is suddenly more important. And I'll bet you're going to talk about
Well,
Plant
you've got
Vogel.
An incumbent, Chuck Eaton, a Republican, faces Democratic candidate Lindy Miller. But the PUC, lots and lots of outside money have been aiming to influence this election, especially $750,000-plus funded by a nuclear power industry group in support of the incumbent, Chuck Eaton. Give us the lay of the land on what is going on with Plant Vogel and his relationship. This is twin nuclear reactors being built in Waynesboro, years behind schedule, billions of dollars over budget. But enough interest for folks to take down an incumbent, do you think?
Well, we'll find out tomorrow, won't we? Yeah, Plant Vogel has been controversial. The addition of the two new towers at Plant Vogel has become enormously controversial, and they're the reasons that suddenly the PSC race has more interest than it typically would have. As you point out, they are years and years behind schedule on completion of the project. There are those who think that they may never really be able to complete it, although that's unlikely. They will find a way to do it. The real question here is, in terms of Eaton and Lindy Miller, is who pays for all these overruns? Lindy Miller says, consumers, we've already been paying for the construction as it has unfolded over the years already. You pay extra on your Georgia power bill. I do, too, for the construction. Lindy Miller is saying, no more.
Hmm.
I hold the line. The Public Service Commission should not allow that money to continue to come out of the pockets of consumers. Eaton says eventually customers, in all fairness, are going to have to be charged somewhat higher rates, small rate hikes, but rate hikes to pay for the towers.
Well, Bill, thanks for the rundown. I know we have just 30 seconds left, but you are going to be talking today on Political Rewind about President
George Herbert Walker Bush.
Who you covered for years.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time with President Bush, and I'm really looking forward to the conversation. Senator Johnny Isaacson will be with us, along with others who have known him over the years, and it should be, I hope, a really wonderful conversation.
Bill Nigut, thanks so much.